Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, May the 17th, 2018, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride today, and boy, do we have a great guest here in hour number one today. Before I let you know who that is, I want to do some quick housekeeping here. Coming up next hour, we are going to be joined by the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer. All kinds of interesting stuff to talk with him about coming up next hour at 1 p.m. Now, don't forget, coming up tomorrow night, Friday night, May the 18th, we will be broadcasting live from Huntington Park, home of the Columbus Clippers, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. and 8:10 to 9 p.m. We'll have interviews with players, fans, and guest star Dennis Haskins, who portrayed Mr. Belding on the hit TV series Saved by the Bell. We will be joined for this broadcast by the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, a good friend of this station. The event is supported by the committee to elect Jeff Ratliff County Prosecutor. So that is tomorrow. Don't miss that for love nor money. Now, we're wrapping up a week here today of great guests. So we want to thank everybody who's come on this week. Ed Asner yesterday was a tremendous amount of fun, always a tremendous guest. And we ran out of time yesterday because Mr. Asner, it's easy to do that with. So we thank Ed Asner. Now, on to this hour. I received a book about a month ago, and it is a tremendous book. As summer is close and upon us, as you go away for Memorial Day, if you just want to curl up with a good book, this is the book to do it with. Because the actress is great, the book is revealing, you will not want to put it down, as I did not. The title, My Days, Happy and Otherwise. The author, tremendous actress, probably best known for her work as Mrs. Cunningham on the TV series Happy Days, Marion Ross. And before we go to Marion Ross, we have to play this tune.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are ours. Gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Feel so right, you can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long.
And we are so glad to be joined today by legendary actress Marion Ross. Marion, how are you?
Good morning. Oh, good afternoon, children. I'm so happy to talk to you. Of course, I love hearing the Happy Days music. Is that pretty old hat now? I don't know. Sounds good to me.
It sounds, you know, you cannot hear that song and not feel upbeat.
Yeah.
It's
great.
It's a great, great memory. Marion, I have to tell you, I loved your book. It's a tremendously revealing, entertaining read. I just enjoyed it immensely.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you so much. You know, I didn't want to write a book, but my son, Jim Meskimen, whom I think you know my son, Jim?
I do. He was on, I believe, back in March.
Anyway, he brought this David Laurel to my house. He said, Mother, you talk and David is going to write down your life story. I said, no, I don't want to do that. But the next thing I know, they had me tied up in a chair, and we're doing it. So I'm so happy, though. I'm so happy to have the book. And, you know, Ron Howard did the foreword on it, and everybody in the cast wrote a chapter at the end, you know?
It's a very unique book from that aspect. What was your hesitation to write a book?
Well, I don't know. I'm a very modest person, you know. In a way.
Now that the book is out there, are you happy with it?
Very. I'm very happy. So we're out, and I just got back from New York and San Francisco and going around selling the book, and it's so much fun for me. So much fun. And you know, I'm 89. Can you believe that? How did that happen?
It goes by fast, doesn't it?
Well, and I'm very well. So as long as I'm, you know, so chipper, we'll run and play and have fun with this.
As you have been out doing autograph signings, book signings, what is it like to interact with the fans?
Oh, it's very dear because they, you know, I've been in their houses. I've been in their bedrooms. They know me very well. So it's a very nice, intimate, natural kind of a process.
How close is Marion Ross to the character you portrayed on Happy Days?
Well, very, very, very close. In fact, if you're going to be 11 years in a part, it better be very comfortable, you know. So the writers were all these young men, and they would say, I guess we'll just call you Marion. Is that okay? I said, sure, that's fine. That's fine. Because my part was very, very small at the beginning. It seemed mostly I had lines like, oh, Howard. And, oh, children, you're not eating, you know, things like that.
You know, when I was reading this book, Marion, something that stuck out to me was there are things in this book that the general public would not have known. Was there any hesitation to putting that in the book? Things that...
Not really. I did have trouble getting along with Tom Bosley, and I don't mind putting that down, you know, because we all knew it on the set, and it was uncomfortable for me, but Tom was a wonderful man, and like we got to understand and know each other much better as the years went on. And I don't mind a little conflict, you know. Do you? No, okay.
It happens. It happens. What was it with Tom Bosley? Do you think?
I don't think he wanted to be married to me on that series. So I never knew who it was he wanted instead of me, but because I didn't react well when he would say negative things about me, he could see that he could get to me. He could get to me very easily, which was, so I guess after a few years I began to toughen up, you know, be able to take it. Mm.
And after an 11-year run, things had gotten better.
Oh, yes. We're a very, very close family. And, you know, you'll see in the book we had a softball team, you know, of all things. That was kind of Gary Marshall's genius idea. By putting us all on a softball team, that pulled us all together. Really, we traveled all over the United States and played before the major league games. Can you believe it?
Mm, it's amazing. Why did that show work? 11 years.
Well, first of all, the Fonz, Henry Winkler, the great Henry Winkler, walked off with that show in his pocket, and so he was a tremendous star, you know? So that's really what it was. And then we did it live. We started it on film, and then we did it live with the audience out there, and in those early days, it was wonderful because that gave the show a kind of energy, you know? Wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Marion, I want to go back here. What was your childhood like growing up?
Oh, I'd love to think about my childhood because everything I am is because of my Canadian mother, you know, who's from Tisdale, Saskatchewan, Irish, saying you can be anything. And then I had a crippled brother. And he was only like 18 months younger than me. And then I had a sister, a middle child. And were you a middle child?
No, I was the oldest.
Okay, well, sometimes if you're the middle child, you have to work harder to get any attention. And because of my crippled brother, I felt a tremendous drive to be somebody. I gotta be somebody, you know. I was absolutely driven. Isn't that nice? I like that so much. That's almost like a gift. You either have that or you don't. You can't just get that.
That's absolutely true. Why was it acting? Why did acting appeal to you?
Well, first of all, I love being somebody else. I love that. I remember going, like, in the third grade, or even the second grade, there was a little girl, and I loved the way she talked. She talked in most interesting way. And I thought, that's so cute. I love that. I'm going to talk like that. So I talked like that, and pretty soon the both of us were sent to a remedial speech class, and I snapped right out of it. So I would look at people, and I would want to be them. I want to be you. I don't want to be me. I want to be you.
It's very interesting. As you have gone on in life, have you become more comfortable in your own skin?
Yes, yes. I can stand it, but I still love acting. I love Brooklyn Bridge. I don't know if you ever saw Brooklyn Bridge, which we did at CBS, but it didn't last awfully long. Gary Goldberg created that. I played Jewish Polish grandmother. You know, here I am, Scotch Irish from Minnesota. That's not me at all. I love being foreign. I love being old. I love acting.
I do remember that series. What a great series that was.
Yes.
Too bad.
I played Drew Carey's mother, which was kind of a straight role. And I've done lots and lots of stuff. But now at 89, I am officially retired.
Oh, you have retired.
I have. I'm well, but sometimes one of the last shows I did, I kept saying, "What is that line? What is that line?" They said, "Well, it's very simple." I said, "I know, but I can't remember. What is it? What is it?" So I said, "You know what, children? I think I got to wrap it up here."
Being that you are still well, about to turn 90, but will not be working any longer, what do you want to do?
Well, I'm very, very busy. Right now, I am so busy outselling the book. Isn't that fun? Yeah, I'm all over. We just got back from San Francisco, and it's just, life is so full of things. I don't think I will be idle very much, you know? I don't think so.
I would doubt it. If a role came by now and you said, "Oh boy, I really want to do that on the stage," if it's a small role, would you take it, or is it just, "I am absolutely retired"?
No, I am absolutely retired. Yeah, really. I don't care. Isn't that sweet? I don't care anymore. I can watch other people, and when I used to be so jealous, now I can say, "Look at that. Isn't that nice for them? Look at that." You go to it. I don't want to do it anymore.
Being that you were so open in this book, did you hear from anybody after it was published?
Oh, I did. Well, the whole cast came and contributed a chapter, and now people are calling me. Isn't that sweet? And people that I know, but not very well, are calling me, and they like it. And so I don't think... I wanted to tell the truth as much as possible, you know, which I think I did.
I would say so. You were also honest about your personal life and your marriage. Give the people a little insight into your marriage.
Well, I ran off and eloped when I was 21. And that was probably the last thing in the world that I was planning for myself. But I liked the drama of the moment. You know, in the middle of the night, run off and elope. Well, my mother, who had, you know, I'd always said I was going to go and be an actress. My mother couldn't take it. My father wept, you know. So that was kind of a bad start. But now I had to stick with it. And he was a handsome young guy, going to be an actor. And... I guess what unconsciously I picked someone who wouldn't stand in my way. Isn't that something? Isn't that an awful thing to say? Because I was terribly ambitious. So he sort of would step aside as I pressed on, you know? But because I ran off and eloped, there was a woman from the college took me immediately up to Hollywood and introduced me to 20th Century Fox, because she thought this was going to be the end of my acting career.
You were married for a while. Would you ever say you were in love?
Oh, sure, I was in love. I love all the time, because I was a very, very naive, you know, girl. So, yeah. So I was married for almost 20 years. But I have two wonderful children. Shall I tell you about my children?
Go right ahead.
All right. My son, Jim Meskimen, who is pushing me to do this book, he is in a commercial right now that you've probably seen. He plays George Washington being dragged in his boat across the freeway for Geico. Have you seen that commercial?
I have. It's a very good commercial.
Almost everybody's seen that, yeah. So he is a working actor, and he's wonderful. My daughter, Ellen Kramer, was a writer-producer on Friends, and now she is creating a brand-new pilot for ABC. So, I mean, here my children are doing so beautifully. Isn't that something?
It's true.
I was a very good mother. You know?
I think you were. They both went into the profession that you were in. Did you want them to do that?
No. And they could see it close up. They grew up in a neighborhood here where many, many people were in show business, in the movie industry. So they don't have any illusions about, you know, this. They can see it, that it's hard work, and that you have to dig it out, you know, if you want to do it. You can do it, but you've got to really do it yourself, you know?
You know, to look back on it now, to reflect now that you are retired from acting, there are so many actors, as you say, who don't make it. Why did you make it? What do you think it was about you?
I think I never, ever had the concept that I couldn't do this. My mother being a Canadian, and I can remember one guy said in the interview years later, he said he used to pick me up going to college, you know, we would hitchhike San Diego State, hitchhike rides, and he said, I understand you want to be an actress. Isn't that, that's kind of hard, isn't it? And he says that I said, well, yes, I don't know what's going to happen to all the others. So the concept that I couldn't do this just was not even in there. Isn't that something?
It's a very positive attitude to have.
Yes, yeah. And you can't just manufacture it. I just think it had something to do with having the crippled brother. I just had to succeed. I did. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, when we talk about your marriage again, you were married from 1951 to 1969, but you did have another partner in life from 88 to 2011, Paul Michael. Was there any reason you did not remarry?
We did, because he was a Catholic, and the church would not give him a divorce, so we didn't care. We're grown up, you know, we didn't care. And I love Paul so much, and that was a fantastic, relationship. It was just wonderful. He was so smart. He was from Broadway. He went to Brown. He was purebred Christian Lebanese. So to me, he was very exotic, and smart and handsome. And so wasn't that nice to have that in your life? I met him when I was 60. How about that?
What, now as you're approaching 90, is there anybody in your life?
No. In fact, I can't quite get the concept. So all the other 90-year-olds are about to be out there. We can't get we can't get the concept, you know, that we're older, because that young child in us is lurking all the time, you know, right under the skin.
Mm. I want to go, you have worked with some tremendous people, so I want to go through some names here and just tell me about your remembrances of them. You worked with the great Betty Davis.
Oh, I did. Yeah, Ron Howard did a small movie that Anson Williams wrote, and I'm trying to think of the name of it. Boy, was she was awful, really. Awful. Oh, I can't tell you. And Ron could conquer her, you know? Wow. Gosh, what was the name of that movie? You know?
What was it about her in person that was not great?
Sour, crabby, mean she was. Mean, you know? Not well, not to say. But Ron conquered her, and she became very obedient. And respected him very much. Isn't that something?
Isn't that something? That's tremendous.
Yeah.
Now, here's another Hollywood legend, Cary Grant.
Ah! Cary Grant. I did Operation... It is Cary Grant. We went down to Key West, Florida, and it was all about the pink submarine and the... Oh, gosh. I was a Navy nurse. And one morning, I was... The submarine was parked there by this big pier, and I went up on it, and I went way up in the conning tower and sat there, and Cary Grant came up and sat with me, and I said, you know, I don't think I can go down in the submarine because I am just 2 months pregnant. He said, you are, and he started, tears came to his eyes, and so we had this beautiful moment together, Cary Grant and me, so then I never did have to go down in the submarine, so that was good, but what a darling gentleman, lovely, lovely person, and Tony Curtis was absolutely adorable guy.
Tony Curtis, I had the opportunity to interview him. He was just the nicest man. I love Tony Curtis.
He just was a wonderful guy. You know, he took care of his brother. He had a handicapped brother, or something was wrong with his brother, and he helped to take care of that brother, and he was just so attractive and nice and fun. Great guy.
Absolutely. Now, here is a Hollywood celebrity, if there ever was one, Clark Gable.
Clark Gable. Yes, I did Teacher's Pet with Clark Gable and Doris Day. I played Doris Day's secretary. You know, so. Oh, my gosh. It was just thrilling. So I have a wonderful picture with him, you know, and he was very nice to me. I want you to read the book. If I tell you all my stories, you won't need the book.
No, they'll get the book. There's a lot more in the book, the interviews with the cast and everything. You know, it's interesting, and tabloids are tabloids, but Doris Day, what? She's still with us. She's 96 now. She's constantly on the tabloids because she doesn't do anything anymore. Why do you think she's become a recluse?
I don't know. She was such another... A really nice person, really compulsively nice person. So she must have felt finally, you know, kids, I've had enough. I've done enough. I've been nice enough. Go leave me alone. Leave me alone. She was a huge, huge star. My God.
Oh, tremendous. Now, you touched on Henry Winkler earlier on. Boy, what a gigantic star as the Fonz. Did you ever see that go to his head on the set?
Let me think. I don't think, I really don't think so. And it's so funny, on my phone machine, I have a nice, wonderful message from Henry wishing me a happy Mother's Day. You know, we're very close, and we're both Scorpios, so we understand each other very well. I get a wonderful kick out of Henry. He's just... Sometimes I'll call him up and I'll say, Henry, let's go, you and me, let's go someplace really fancy for lunch, huh? You know, really showbiz and go like to Beverly Hills and have lunch. And he says, okay, let's do that. So
beautiful.
He's a very good friend, you know?
Absolutely. Ron Howard, who did the foreword for the book, boy, he had Andy Griffith, he had Happy Days, and then he's become huge in the film industry. Would you have ever seen that coming for Ron Howard?
You know, there was a point in Happy Days where Ron was offered a big deal with NBC, and it would mean that he would have to leave Happy Days and go with this other contract. And he was risking the fact that that Happy Days could have come crashing down without him if he left. So he called every one of us and said, I've been given this opportunity, and I could bring down your show, and I would feel terrible, but I want to take this opportunity. And each one of us all said, no, Ron, you go with it. Go. Take your moment. You go. And so that was... I think we'd already run about 7 years, you know, and then we went on for 11 seasons without Ron, and it was changed. But by that time, the Fonz had really taken over. But Ron is just such a wonderful, generous, you know, when our little Aaron died, Aaron. So, and that was a tragedy. And I said, I want to have a party here at my house, which I call Happy Days Farm. And my son wanted to come. I said, no, Jim, you can't come. It's only for the Happy Days family. It's only for us. Mm. And Ron came, and he brought his brother, Clint, and all the cast of Happy Days. And we spent the whole evening talking about Aaron, you know. But Ron is just... He looks like an ordinary guy, doesn't he?
He does. You know?
But no. I think, wow, not ordinary at all.
You talked about Aaron Moran there, and one of the most interesting things about the book is, of course, I think the audience knows Aaron Moran was Joni on Happy Days and since has passed away, but there is an interview that was done with her for the book. Died so young, had a not-so-great life after Happy Days. What was that experience like with her?
Well, I think she got into drugs and things. You know, it's a dangerous world out there. So, and I think her family got carried away with show business. You know, Ron Howard's dad would take him, when we were all finished, even if we had a party, he would take him home. He'd get him out of there. So if Aaron's parents would stay and party with us all night, you know. So it's, I cannot tell you how dangerous a business it is. And maybe everything is dangerous out there now. Don't you think it is? I guess it is, isn't it?
It's a different world, to be sure.
You've got to have some really good parenting going on.
Absolutely. There's another story you tell in the book, and it's very interesting because at one point during the Happy Days run, you held out for more money, and you write about that in the book. How difficult was that?
Well, one time, I was so grateful to have the job because I was divorced and no money coming in. So when I took this part, my part was very small, very simple. It was like I told you, it was like, oh, Howard, you know, oh, children, you're not eating, things like that. So I didn't get paid very much. Then as the years go on, one of the online producers came to me and he said, Marion, you're not paid enough. Wow. Well, that's news to me, you know. So in other words, everybody else is getting paid better than me. So I thought, well, okay, now I'm going to... So I stayed out. I didn't come to work. And Ron Howard called me up on the phone. He said, Marion, they just made an announcement that you're being replaced. I said, well, I'll be right in. That took a little while. I had to wait, you know, until I became more indispensable. And then finally Gary Marshall said, "Oh, what do you want? What do you want? I'm going in for you. Going in for you." I said, "Well, I just want what the other children are getting, you know."
No, it's a great story, just like the book. And again,
I want to because I'm so modest, you know. I always laugh. I say, you know, I have every penny. Or I would tell Tom Bosley this, because I would say, you know, I have every penny I ever made, and it would make him furious because he spent so much money.
It's funny because you know
they'd say, "Well, do you have every penny you ever made?" I said, No. I'm just telling that to Tom Bosley, you know.
Well, you know what's interesting, Marian, about this? When I was reading the book, the most interesting thing to me was, you say everybody on the set knew that you and Tom Bosley did not get along in the beginning,
but
it never came, all these little tabloids and behind-the-scenes stories, years after, it never came out. It was never general knowledge.
No. And you would never see it on the film. And that's called acting. That's called acting, right? you make me laugh.
Oh, it's when you got together to do these reunions before Tom passed away, had he gotten better? Was he friendlier?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. He would say to me, he'd say, where do you go in Kansas when you go and do plays? He said, will you call them up and see if I can go and do a play there, too. This is over. There's a theater in Overland Park called The New Theater, and it's a wonderful place. So I said, absolutely, I'll call them and tell them you want to come. So, you know, that just shows you how close we had gotten, you know.
When he passed away, was that hard for you?
Oh, it was hard on all of us. Yeah, it's interesting. Of course, we became a family. We've lost track a long time ago of the fact that we weren't a family. So we were all there grieving. And I can remember one time, just before the show would go on with our audience out there, we would all sit quietly together, you know, backstage, waiting. And then we would talk and we'd tell stories. And Tom started one story. He said, "No, you know your mother, something. I said, Tom, I'm not their mother." We all laughed. Because by that time, we'd forgotten. We don't know what we are by that time.
One of the other things that Happy Days has kind of become famous for is one of the later episodes, Henry Winkler's character, the Fonz, jumps a shark. And now that in television lore, jumping the shark means a television series has went on too long.
Right.
Do you think Happy Days went too long?
Oh, good question. I don't know. It did begin to peter out. It did begin to peter out, you know. So, but you know what it was? We had, to tell you the truth, we had a softball team, and we didn't want to give up that team. Isn't that funny? So, if we could keep the show going, we could keep the team going. And Ron Howard taught Henry Winkler how to pitch. Trained him because Henry was a New York boy. He never played softball in his life, so taught him how to pitch. Everybody on that cast, including me, not Erin, she didn't care, but we were all good softball players, you know. And so we played before the big league games all over the United States and met thousands of people. It was the most wonderful promotion device. It was Gary Marshall's idea, and he played first base. Makes me laugh. Oh. I mean, I have my own bat with my name on it. I have my own mitt. I got my baseball shoes. Oh, I got my whole Happy Days baseball outfit. So funny. It makes me laugh.
Oh, it's beautiful. Marian, you said in the beginning you didn't necessarily want to write this book, before the book was published, is there anything you left out? Are there any secrets that you did not put in the book or did not want to put in the book?
Well, I'm not a scandal person, you know. I know people would say, well, can't you give us some dirt? I said, I don't care. You know, I've lived my... Is it boring? I don't know how boring it is. I lived my life so carefully, you know. But at least I was divorced, you know. And at least I tried show business and succeeded. I mean, it's a hard thing I did, right?
Absolutely.
Would you agree?
I wonder, being such a recognizable actress, certainly after the Happy Days series and all these previous years, is it hard to go out? Do fans come up to you in restaurants? Is it hard to go to the grocery store?
It's just darling. It isn't hard at all. It's just darling. They're very nice to me. Everybody's very nice, you know, and protective and kind. It's like they own me, you know. I've been in their house. You know, it's very sweet. It's different from being a performer up on a stage where you're at a distance. It's a very intimate feeling I have with people.
Do you have any regrets in life?
Isn't that nice? I don't. You know, isn't that something?
That's a good way to live.
Well, either that or I'm sort of a naive, nice person. So I think I've done just fine, you know?
Absolutely.
I'm proud of me. Yeah, I'm proud of me. It's okay.
You should be, absolutely. If 100 years from now, people were going to look back at your career, if you could choose what they were going to view, what one piece would you want them to view of your career?
I was very proud of Brooklyn Bridge. Here I was playing a Jewish Polish grandmother. I had an accent. This Gary Goldberg wrote it. He was writing his own grandmother. I said to him, "I really caught your grandmother, didn't I?" He said, "No." He said, "She was much tougher than you, much tougher." But I loved being in Brooklyn Bridge. I'm very proud of it. We only made about 30. I don't know if you can get it somewhere or not. I'm not sure.
I think people, if they searched it on the internet, can probably find it.
Yeah.
Is there a bit of work that you particularly didn't like? You said, I didn't really care for that performance.
Say that again, darling.
Is there anything that you have ever done that you did not really care for? You didn't like that performance? You didn't like that part?
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, there must have been all kinds of things, you know. I would watch it and think, oh, God, no. You know, I'm sure. You know.
With the reruns of Happy Days, certainly, and the movies you have done, do you like to watch yourself on screen?
I'm not a big fan, no. I don't. No.
What?
And now when I watch, it's like looking at a stranger. Well, look, you'll say to you, I say, well, look what she does. Well, look at her. Yeah. No, I don't even know that person anymore. We're strange little chameleons, you know.
With doing 11 years on Happy Days, after that series was over, was it hard to get roles? Did you ever feel typecast like some actors do?
Oh, I panicked. I thought, oh, my gosh. And I quickly ran down to the Globe Theater in San Diego, which is my home theater. And Craig Noel, who wrote it, is not living now. And I said, you know, I said, I've got to do a play right away. I've got to do a play. So that's interesting, you know.
Yeah. You know, Marianne, after talking to you here, we've got about 5 minutes left, but this one thing I am so impressed with is you just seem so exuberant, so... Do you ever have a downtime?
Not so much. Not so much. It's like later today, I'll be very tired, you know, about 3 o'clock, and nobody will be around. If nobody's looking, I'll do the crossword puzzle and fall asleep.
Well, we'll all be thinking about that later on. Well, it's interesting because now that you've given up acting and when the book tour is over, what's a typical day like? Your parents are grown, or your kids are grown. What do you do? What's a typical day like?
Well, I have an assistant, Gwen. She comes every day. She comes at 10 o'clock, and we do stuff, you know. And I used to say to Paul, "Well, Gwen and I are going to the bank," and we didn't go to the bank at all. We would go and look at model homes. We would go, and you know, we would just play, you know. So I just do what all kind of girls like me do. We just fool around, you know.
You know, Mary,
because I don't play tennis now, and I don't play golf, so I just have a good time.
I'm so glad we've had you on, because something interesting, about a month ago, somebody gave me a book on Lucille Ball, and there was a line in Lucille's book that I thought was so interesting after reading your book, A Parallel. She said, you know, in her private life, Lucy was very private, but she would have to put on that red wig, and she would have to go out and be Lucy. Is there ever a time where you don't have to be Marion Ross, where you can just blend in with the public?
I try to fix up a little bit, you know, because I don't want to disappoint people. I don't want them to say, "Oh my God, whatever happened to her? Look at her, God." So I just like a person, just try to look civilized. But I understand that Lucy would probably do that. Yeah, in a way, you have an image that you want to support also, you know.
It's interesting when people look back at you because of the reruns, they will be there, the movies, the great work you've done, the book now. If you could choose how people remembered you, how do you hope they remember you?
I'm sure they will remember me from Happy Days. It's so interesting that very big, big stars are usually only remembered for one. You say Yul Brynner, you know, then you think The King and I. You think of one role, and of course they will think of Happy Days. And that's fine with me. They don't even need to think about me at all if they don't want to, you know?
Where did you get your disposition from? Because it is very pleasant. Were your parents pleasant people?
Yes. My mother, Irish, you know.
Yeah.
My father is Scottish and more taciturn, more quiet. And you would say, "Daddy, oh no, Daddy, it's a joke, Daddy, it's a joke." Because he was a Scotsman. You know, he didn't get it. So, but my mother was clever, Irish, droll, good, great storyteller. You know, she was a young teacher. She was really an actress herself, really.
Right. But before we wrap up, Marion, I wanted to go back to your childhood and ask one more question. When you talked about having a younger brother who was handicapped, I notice a lot of people who have siblings who are handicapped in some way, that they love them, but there also is kind of a resentment because a lot of attention gets paid to them. I think you mentioned that earlier, that you had to succeed. What would have happened?
Right. I don't remember so much resentment. Mostly he fueled the need for me to succeed, you know.
Well, that's kind of the
I didn't resent him for that. He was my engine in a way.
If your brother had not been disabled, do you think you would have been an actress?
What a good original question. I wonder. I probably would have, because I was going to want attention no matter what. I really to look at me. Mm. You know, when you're in the middle and you're the second little girl, you are invisible until you're the cutest thing that ever was, you know?
Well, I do want to do this before we go here. The book, and it is a good book, and we say that a lot, but this is truly a good book. My Days, Happy and Otherwise, a very true book. Marion Ross, forwarded by Ron Howard, written with David Laurel, and there are interviews in here with such great Erin Moran before she passed away, and Gary Marshall before he passed away, and a true glimpse into a real life showbiz honest career. And to talk with Marion Ross today, what a thrill it's been. You know, this is the first time, Marion, but I hope not the last time we talk.
Well, I've had an awfully good time talking to you, darling. You make me laugh, so you make me feel good.
Well, I hope you feel good the rest of the day and have a good time with the crossword puzzle later on.
All right, darling. Thank you,
honey. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Marion Ross from Happy Days. Hey, you can't go wrong there. Remember the book, My Days, Happy and Otherwise, forwarded by Ron Howard with David Laurel. Marion Ross, Mrs. Cunningham, Mrs. C. We're going to take a 10-minute break, come back with much more. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You don't jump in and attack me every time I open my mouth.